I'm Dr. Bernie Wilkinson.
I'm Dr. Richard Marshall.
And Friday the 13th. Here we are.
It is Friday the 13th.
I like Friday the 13th.
Almost the middle of the month.
I often feel like Friday the 13th is a good luck day.
You do?
Yeah, because it happens so rarely that, you know, it's got to be one of those good things because it happens so rarely.
Every day happens rarely.
You know,
you lost me there.
You think about, you know, we think of these days as being so Friday the 13th. Oh,
but, oh yeah.
Why not Tuesday the 13th?
Well, if you were in a Spanish-speaking country, it would be Tuesday. As a matter of fact, different countries, different cultures have different unlucky days.
Right.
Ours happens to be Friday the 13th. And oddly enough, we don't know why. We don't know where it came from.
Yeah.
You know, lots of little anecdotes, little stories about where we think it came from, but we really don't know.
I do think that so many of our taboos and mm-hmm. our peculiar superstitions are interesting because, you know, some buildings don't have a 13th floor.
That's right.
Well, they have a 13th floor, but they don't label it as the 13th floor. Because it's not like you just skip the floor.
Yeah, they skip the 13th floor. Some people won't fly on Friday the 13th.
Yeah.
I mentioned earlier that there's huge business losses.
Yeah, yeah.
$800 to $900 million in lost business on Friday the 13th because people are afraid to make an indecision.
What they should do is call it Black Friday.
Ooh, that would get them out.
Right? And then offer sales.
It would be like a practice for Black Friday.
It's not like they come out of nowhere. I mean, you know when they're going to be here. True. So you should plan for them. And so, all right. Well,
anyway, it is Friday the 13th.
It is.
We are winding down another school year.
Yeah.
Man.
Yeah.
Almost over. It seems, wow.
We're almost halfway through the year.
I know.
The calendar year.
Yeah.
My goodness. We sound like old men. Back in my day.
Back in the day.
But, you know, today we're going to... something similar. We'll ease into this.
Okay.
The title of today's podcast is Try Not, Do or Do Not.
Yoda.
It sounds familiar, right?
Wasn't that Yoda from Star Wars?
It was. And you know what I was trying to do?
Wasn't that when they were in the... and Luke Skywalker landed in the swamp?
Yeah.
And Yoda wanted him to think the plane out of the swamp.
Listen to this. I think I have this sound effect. Just a second.
Do or do not. There is no try.
Now, look how fancy that is. We are taking this podcast to a whole new level, adding in sound effects and all that kind of stuff. So, but we're talking about that today because sometimes we just have to do it. You know, sometimes... there are oftentimes when we're working with patients, when we're working with loved ones, when we're just in a situation where, you know, there are things that need to be done. We know where we need to go, that we need to get there, but we hesitate. We say we're going to try. You know, I need to change my diet. You know, I'm going to try. I'm going to try to change my diet starting tomorrow. Mm-hmm. I'm going to try to find some time to exercise.
I want to.
Yeah.
I want to.
You want to, but do you really want to? And so that's why we titled it today. You know, try not. Don't try. Just you know, let's do it.
Right.
And so we'll talk a little bit about the importance of, you know, that Nike slogan, just do it. Just do it. So there are, whether you're talking to about a teenager, and this often happens in situations with teenagers, where parents will try to get the teenager to do something, or a kid to do something, it doesn't have to be a teenager, or a teenager to do their kid or teenager to do something, and the kid says, well, okay, I'll do it, and they don't. They don't get up from the couch, or they don't stop their video games. And the parent goes in and says, I thought I told you to go take the trash out. Mm-hmm. Well, I will. I'm going to.
Right.
And
he intends to.
Right.
Right.
But the parent wants him to just do it.
Right.
Just do it now.
Get it done. Right.
And we hold those kinds of expectations to our kids, and we expect them to jump up and do what we want them to do right away. But yet, when it comes to us, when it comes to things that we need to do, mm-hmm. so often we don't. We don't just do it. We put it off. We hesitate. We procrastinate. We find other reasons why. You know what? I'll just start tomorrow. You know, I've mentioned on the podcast before that I need to get back into running quite a while. And so every morning I get up and I think, you know what, I'm gonna run today. This evening when I get home, I'm gonna go for a jog. And then when I get home, it's been such a long day. You know, I'll just do it tomorrow.
Right.
And then as I'm brushing my teeth before bed, I think, man, I didn't run again today. I really need to get running tomorrow. And so I have all of these intentions of doing it, or at least that's what I tell myself. I have all these intentions of doing it, but I never just do
it. Good intentions.
Yeah.
We know where they go.
Yeah, there's a path.
We know where that road goes, right? Yeah.
So I want to talk about how important it is to just do it. And just do it even if you're not 100%. And let me tell you what I mean by that. There are oftentimes, there's the old saying that and thing that people talk about when it comes to having children. People say, "Well, I'm just waiting for the right time." You know, "Well, when are you guys gonna have kids?" "Well, we're just waiting for the right time." You know, "He's doing this, she's doing that. Just gonna wait for the right time." And the reality is that the right time, there is no right time. You know, the right time is just whenever it happens.
Right.
And too often, I think, we get ourselves into a situation where we tell ourselves, "Well, I want to do that, but I'm just going to wait until I have this in place, or I'm going to wait until that's happening, or I'm going to wait until I get done with this." And we find all of these reasons just to wait. Mm-hmm. When the reality is that you just need to get started.
Right.
You just need to do it.
Right.
You know, there's this. I talk with my wife about a lot of things, of course.
And, I thought you were gonna stop with it. I talk to my wife. That's good.
Sometimes, you know, I have to.
Okay.
But I'll talk to my wife about some of my plans, and she, you know, in trying to look out for my time and my sanity, you know, she will sometimes say, you know, "Why are you taking on something else? Why are you doing that?"
Many of us ask that question.
You do.
About you.
But I didn't want to put you on the spot.
It's okay. I don't mind being on that spot because many of us have had that thought.
Right. And I hear it way too much. But but my perspective is that, and perhaps, you know, there is some pathology to it. So,
right.
You know, I will admit that. But at the same time, you just have to do it.
Right.
Nothing is going to get done unless you do it. Mm-hmm. We tell our soccer players, you know, you miss 100% of the shots you don't take.
Right.
If you shoot, right, your chances of scoring automatically increases just by taking the shot.
Right.
Just by trying, just by doing it. And so we have to take that sort of that same perspective
sort of approach, right,
into other parts of our life.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, if you want to be healthier, you know what you got to do.
Well, you know, and it's a two-step process, though. And I think most people forget about that when they say, I would really like to. It always begins with, "I would really like to," and then you fill in the blank.
Right.
Lose weight, run marathon, whatever it is. "I would really like to." But it's a two-step process. One is getting going.
Right.
Okay. If you want to do anything, you have to take that initial first step. First step's the hardest, right?
Okay. Always the first step is the
but,
hardest.
But as we've said in previous podcasts, you also need to sustain it until it becomes self-sustaining.
Right.
And that's the second step that's also very hard.
Right.
And so people falter either at step one or step two.
Right.
Once you're losing weight, once you're running regularly, once you're exercising, once you're going to the gym, once the habit has been sustained, once you sustain this schedule day after day after day, then you don't have to worry too much about it because it'll keep itself going.
Right. As we've talked about with motivation and those kinds of things in the past, as soon as you start seeing success,
that's what's
everything else is easy.
Right.
You know,
Newton was right. Isaac Newton, that is.
Oh.
As opposed to, no, Newton was right. You have to overcome inertia.
Right.
Okay. And yeah. And that's a two-step process.
Right.
You know, buying running shoes doesn't make you a runner. Buying running shoes and running and sustaining makes you a runner.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Now I'm gonna use a metaphor. So the difference between metaphor and a
simile.
Simile. Okay. Well, I will say it, and you tell me which one it is. I was talking to a guy yesterday about the space program, and I think that this example illustrates this perfect. If we want to travel to Mars, mm-hmm. okay, we can start here on Earth. We can do everything we got to do, but the resources that we have to put together here on Earth are tremendous because the first step mm-hmm. is beating gravity.
Right.
That's the first step.
Right.
It's a huge first step.
That's the big hurdle.
Mm-hmm. And right now, we don't really seem to have the technology or the ability to beat gravity and still have enough
and right
to get mm-hmm. all the way in a timely
to
way
right.
to Mars.
Yeah, it takes so much energy.
Right.
And that's what you're talking about.
Yeah.
It takes so much energy to escape Earth's gravitational pull
yeah.
to overcome the inertia.
Right.
That we don't have enough left
right.
to get to our destination.
Right. Mm-hmm. However, if we built a small station right. on the moon.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. And we That's built a rocket there and we right. got fuel there that, mm-hmm. and we solved those kinds of problems mm-hmm. and we got right. fuel there and we took off from there.
Right.
That problem is resolved.
That's right. Because then you don't have all that energy.
Right.
to escape the moon's gravity because it's so much smaller.
Right. right. So all the energy that it takes to overcome the Earth's gravity
right.
can be used in propulsion mm-hmm. to create speed to get us to Mars.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. And that would be mm-hmm. easier. So you where you are right now, the first step is to beat gravity. Mm-hmm. That requires a lot of energy.
Right.
Mm-hmm. But just like we know we can do with rockets, we know we can do it.
Right.
We know how to do it. We can do that. The next step is preparing for the launch.
Right.
That second step, as you said, that next step, that launch that propels us to our ultimate
right.
destination.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And so there are those two steps. But what this podcast, I think, is... what is all about, what we're trying to help you understand is that you got to get off Earth first.
Right.
You got to do it. You got to get that first step done.
Mm-hmm.
Because if not, you're just stuck here. You're
right.
you're not going to get where you want to go.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it's education or health or whatever it is, you have to just do it. And just go. Again, when we think about students, when we think about children, a lot of this falls into the lap of the parent.
Right.
All right, parents, and most parents, many parents, do this relatively well.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we just make our kids do it.
Right.
So if our kids want to play a sport, or if they want to do something, you know, the parents will go out and they will work to make it happen. So the kid doesn't have to fill out the application. They don't have to fill out all the forms. All they have to do is express an interest, go set them up, and then they just go and interact or play or do whatever it is. But we need to begin to teach our kids how to just do it. You know, too many kids, and we've talked about this in previous podcasts and stuff, too many kids are sedentary. They don't do it. They don't have to do anything.
Right.
And so, you know, I always find it interesting when I'm talking to a parent and they say, well, I can't get him to do anything. And I say, well, what does he have to do? Well, none really have to do anything. Okay,
right.
Well, what you're not teaching him mm-hmm. or her to, you know, to just do it, to just
right.
have that motivation, to have that interest, to
right.
find that passion,
mm-hmm.
and then take those first two steps to make it happen.
Mm-hmm.
And it's unfortunate because then by the time they reach teenager adolescence
mm-hmm.
or they become adults, the expectation then is that they're going to do it. That okay, well, they're, you know, you need to apply for college.
That's right.
And I don't know how to fill out an application to apply for college.
And there's a good lesson there for parents, because we want, we have to usually, when we're getting our kids started, whether it's getting them started at 8 or 10 or 15 or 18, you take the first step. You have to help your kids with that first step.
Right.
Okay, which is overcoming gravity.
Right.
And you're going to have to work with them, but you also have to take the second step. And I think that's what many of us don't realize. It's a two-step process. You got to help them with both.
Yeah, and you know, we allow our kids or we do our kids the disservice of not allowing them or creating a situation for them to maintain that second step. You know, so as soon as they encounter gravity, when they try to launch, that resistance of gravity, that little bit of resistance that makes it a little bit more challenging or a little bit more difficult than they were expecting, we allow them to quit. We allow them to come back to Earth, and we don't encourage them and get them over that hump.
Mm-hmm.
And
because they don't realize that it's a, I mean, they have to learn that it's a two-step process,
right?
Okay, and it's up to parents to tutor them,
right,
to get through these first two, to tutor and support,
right,
until it becomes self-sustaining.
Yeah, kids and parents, this is a really important point. Kids don't realize how much work it takes to do things.
Right.
You know, there are a lot of kids out there who think, I want to be able to play the guitar. They really believe that if they just pick up the guitar, that they're going to learn it, you know, in the matter of a couple of weeks, that they're going to be playing, you know,
like
Jimi Hendrix.
Right.
They don't understand that it doesn't work that way. They don't understand the amount of work and effort and again, that next step of work that it takes.
Mm-hmm.
Sure, they will take the step of going to get the guitar, and sure, they may take the step of saying, okay, I'll take lessons. But that sustaining step of saying, you know, here I am playing, you know, chopsticks, or I don't know what the name of the, what that classic first song is that you play
for
on
guitars?
Guitar. Yeah.
I don't know.
But in piano, it's, you know, like chopsticks types of thing. But,
right.
You know, but to be able to say week in, week out, here I am playing this, you know, strumming these note after note after note, how boring and droll it is. You know, they just don't understand that they have to get through that to get to where they want to go.
That's right.
So we have
but
to teach
that.
It's
a normal part of the process, you know.
Right.
Keep going. Right.
Right. So we have to teach that directly. So when you, we talked about this a couple of weeks ago when we were talking about grit. And we were talking about sort of that stick-to-it-ness of and persistence of saying, okay, well, I signed you up for, you know, if you want to learn to play the guitar, these are the obligations. I'm going to pay for this many lessons. And so no matter how difficult it is, you got to finish that many lessons.
Right.
And then we'll decide if you want to continue with that or if we're going to shift to a new activity.
Mm-hmm.
But that has to be decided ahead of time.
Right.
And
right.
agreed upon and stuck to it.
Right.
You know,
right.
It's, you know, in sports, the only time that a student or kid or teenager shouldn't complete a season is if they're injured.
Injured. Right.
Otherwise, whether you sit the bench the entire season or not, you stick to that.
Right.
You stick to that team.
Right.
And you keep working, you know, because, again, we have to teach our kids. Even if you're not playing, there is something that can be gained. And we need to, you know, kids don't necessarily know that intuitively.
Right.
And so we have to teach them that. We have to help them understand that this is why you stick to it and this is what you need to be using this time for.
That's right. The decision to participate is a season-long decision.
Right.
That's an important life lesson.
Right.
I'm committing myself to this season.
Right.
Not to as long as it works.
Yeah.
But to this season.
Right.
Because you get them thinking outside themselves. When you commit to a season or to your team, you're committing to something beyond, well, I don't like this anymore. It's boring, or I don't like the coach. No, it's not about what you like. It's about committing yourself to a team and committing yourself to the season.
I've mentioned before about my daughter's taking college algebra, yeah. and she was struggling. She's a good math student, but she was having particular trouble with this course, and she wanted to drop it. She wanted to get out of it. And
that's the first reaction, first response as well. I'll just quit.
Right. And so we had to work through that. And what the way that I did that with her is, you know, she, despite struggling, I said, you know, this is the, to be able to accomplish this course, this is the minimal expectation. All you have to do is make a C.
Right.
If you make a C, the credit counts, and you never have to take that course again if you don't want to.
Right.
If you make lower than a C, you're going to have to retake it if you hope to get a college degree.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So let's make the decision. And so let's, you know, do the best you can, work as hard as you can, and we'll see how things fall at the end of the C.
Right.
But regardless of how it ends at the end of the term, as long as you're working hard, I'm okay with it.
Right. Right.
I don't mind. Mm-hmm. I will admit that I made a D the first statistics and probability course that I took in college. I'm going to blame the professor on that, but
that's exactly what I would do.
Well, the first question of the test was, "What is the professor's name?" Mm-hmm. I had no idea what the professor's name was. No, so I said John Adams, but it wasn't his name.
How could you not know his name?
I don't know why I didn't know his name. Wow. You know, but I was, you know, 18, so I didn't care. So I said, as long as you work hard, that's fine. And if you don't make it and you have to retake the class later, that will suck. But we'll do it. We'll deal with it, and you know, you can figure out what to do then. She ended the term with a B, you know, completely unexpected. But she worked. She studied and she worked.
But you also provided her with the scaffolding. You know, the great Soviet psychologist Lev Vygotsky.
Vygotsky
talked to us about scaffolding. You have to put scaffolding around your kids. They have to do the work, but you have to provide the structure, the support, the guidance. So, you know, you provided her with the scaffolding she needed. Which then allowed her to manage the course.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. So
didn't do it for her.
Right.
Okay. You gave her the support so that she could do it.
Right. Mm-hmm. Now I tried to tutor some, and man, it's been a long time since I've done college algebra.
Parents as teachers.
Oh man. But again, the point is that you know, the life lesson for her was, you know, it's going to be tough, but you just have to do it.
Right. Well, that's what you taught her. I mean, that's really the lesson that she learned was this is how you do it.
Right.
Okay. And that's what she needed. She didn't need to be tutored in math. She needed to be tutored in how to manage this math course.
Right.
Right.
Right. And so whether it's academics or it's sports.
Yeah, it doesn't matter what.
Friends. Right. Mm-hmm. Sometimes, you know, our kids get frustrated with their friends.
That's
You know, friends that they've had for years.
That's right.
They get frustrated. We need to tutor them in how to stick to that.
Right.
But these lessons aren't just for our kids. We have to implement them ourselves as well.
That's right.
You know, too often, you know, when I'm talking with adults and, you know, they come in and they're frustrated with their health, or they're frustrated with their depression or their anxiety. You know, these things are difficult for them. And we work on some ideas and, you know, hey, when you do this, how does it feel? And they'll say, you know, well, when I go for a walk, I feel so good afterwards.
Yeah.
And you say, okay, well, let's incorporate just a brief walk every day, you know, if at least 3 times a week.
Right.
You know, if you can go for a 30-minute walk 3 times a week, that would be fantastic. You know, it can make a difference because you already know how good it makes you feel to go for a walk. So let's incorporate that. And okay, I'll try. I'll do the best I can. And then they come back, you know, a week later. So how many times did you go for a walk this week? I can't wait to hear about it. Well, I didn't do it.
Didn't get there.
I didn't. Well, why not? Well. And then there's that pause, that pause of that tells you, I just didn't. Mm-hmm. I just didn't do it.
Right.
No reason. I just didn't.
I wonder if just do it is the opposite. Didn't do it.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. I mean, and that's what we're saying. We're saying it can be, I just didn't do it.
Right.
You know, come up with 1,000 excuses. You know, when I make a mistake in my teaching, I'll say to my students, I have lots of excuses, but I'm not going to give you any.
Right.
Okay. I just didn't do it. Okay?
Right.
I'm not going to apologize. I'm not going to explain. I'm not going to make excuses. I just didn't do it. What you're saying here is the opposite of that is then just do it.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. When you're at home and if you commit to it and you say, I want to start making these kinds of decisions in my life. Mm-hmm. This is what I want to start doing in my life. Well, at some point, typically at home, that thought comes to you. Well, I should go for a walk today, or I should go for a jog today, or I really shouldn't be eating this. Then don't, or then do it. You know, make that decision when that thought comes to you. Do it then. We put it off and we say, oh well, yeah, I'll just do it later, or you know what, it'll be fine. I'll just eat this last one, and then. And then I just won't get any more. And we all know that that doesn't work.
I have to finish this half gallon of ice cream before I start.
Right.
Right.
We all know that those kinds of strategies don't work. And how do we know that they don't work? Because they never have.
Well, you know, the other thing that struck me here is we were talking about scaffolding for children.
Right.
Adults maybe have to learn how to scaffold themselves.
Right.
In other words, you instruct somebody to walk 3 days a week. But if they're not in the habit, there's no structure.
Right.
There's no scaffolding. And if they had a professional trainer, that's why professional trainers are good.
Yeah.
They scaffold it for mm-hmm. you. They structure it for you. But if you don't have a personal trainer, then you have to provide your own scaffolding.
Right.
All right. So when you say walk 3 days a week, I think maybe what you have to do is you have to say to yourself, okay, what 3 days... And what time of day?
Right.
I have to be that specific because I have to provide. If you were doing this with a child, you'd say, okay, we're going to do homework at 4:00.
Right.
Okay, you're scaffolding, you're structuring it for them. Well, you have to do that for yourself because if you don't do that, if you don't make that time commitment,
right,
you're probably going to find something else to do and some other reason not to do it.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah, what I'll often do with patients is I will say, this is what we want to accomplish. I guess we'll just stick with the walking 3 days a week.
Mm-hmm.
I'll do exactly that while we're sitting in session. Okay. What 3 days are you going to do it? You know, what 3 days are realistic? Okay, your kids have baseball on these 2 days.
That's right.
You have to work late on these days and you have this going on this day. Okay, so that leaves these days that you can go for your walk. All right. Mm-hmm. Is it better for you to go for a walk in the morning or in the evening? Okay, so mornings you're struggling getting everybody up and ready for school to get them out of the house. So evenings are going to be best. Okay, what time in the evening? Okay, this is your kids' homework schedule. This is your kids' dinner. This is your family dinner schedule. And we just kind of whittle it down to say, okay, so these 3 days a week, these are the times that you're going to do it. Now get your phone out and let's put it on your calendar.
Mm-hmm.
Let's create the reminder so that your phone will tell you, hey, here we go. We're going to do this today.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're building that, using that scaffolding
right.
to try to
build the routine. If you want to escape if you want to overcome inertia,
right.
You know, we said earlier, the analogy that you
Is
used.
That what
yeah. The analogy that you used was a escaping Earth's gravity, you know, a rocket.
Right.
Okay. The most amount of energy you're going to expend is in escaping gravity, is in overcoming inertia.
Right.
That's going to be the hardest thing you do. Okay. Once you do that, the second step is easier. Once you do that, the third step is easier still.
Yeah.
The most amount of energy you're going to have to do, and the only way you're going to do it is if you schedule it and commit to it. But you have to schedule it.
Yeah.
You have to say, I'm going to go at this time, and you can't let anything else get in the way.
Right.
You can't say, well, I'm going to just go because I'm going to start walking 3 days a week. It doesn't work that way because your days are already filled up.
Right.
And you're not going to... So the first thing you have to do is you have to make time for a new activity.
Right.
A specific time for a new activity.
Right. And sticking with the analogy,
mm-hmm.
when NASA or SpaceX or any of those guys plan a launch, it is to the T. Mm-hmm. It is scheduled at a very specific time. But it still has to, the button still has to be pushed.
Right. Right.
And that button is you.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
You have to still, you still have to press launch.
Mm-hmm.
Because you can schedule it, we can do all of these things, and we can put all this together, but it still falls to you to push that button to get that, to make that launch happen.
Get off the sofa, get out the door,
right,
and get there and do the walking.
Right. Mm-hmm. And you can find lots of reasons why not.
Oh.
You can say it's too cloudy. You can say it's too hot.
It's too wet. It's too humid. It's too dark. It's too bright. It's
we can come up with hundreds of excuses.
Just call us. We'll give you dozens of excuses.
Right.
Because we've used them all.
Yeah. But at some point, if it's what you want to do,
mm-hmm,
you just have to push the button.
Right.
You just have to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, I think, bringing it back to the sound effect that I used earlier, that's what Yoda was saying.
That's right.
You can't rely on trying. Mm-hmm. At some point, you just have to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And the rest of that scene with Luke and Yoda, I love Star Wars, but the rest of that scene is Yoda, of course, gets the X-Wing fighter out of the swamp and puts it onto dry land. And Luke's response is, "I don't believe it." And Yoda says, "That's why you fail.
That's why you can't do it."
Mm-hmm. And so we tell ourselves, and so often we begin the process, and the reason that we say that we'll try is because there's a nugget of a thought that says, "Well, I just don't know if I can do it."
Mm-hmm.
And that's one of the reasons why, mm-hmm, we find the reasons not to do it. That's
right.
Why the reasons why we find excuses to avoid it, because we don't want it to fall on us that we can't.
Right.
We don't want it to be our fault.
Right. That's right.
It's, well, I didn't do it because it's raining, or I didn't do it because it's this or because it's that. Well, that all that is just shifting the obligation.
Those are
to
not
something
reasons.
Else.
Those are excuses, and that's what I say, that I don't offer excuses. If I didn't do it, that's my fault. It's my shortcoming. I'm not going to offer a dozen excuses, because had I really wanted to do it,
mm-hmm,
I did something that day.
Right.
Well, what I did is what I wanted to do.
Right.
Okay. So let's begin with that. But get rid of the excuses, because the excuses are always going to be there.
Right.
Okay. And you just can't succumb to the excuses.
You
have to overcome. That's part of overcoming inertia.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. And so, as we're overcoming that, as we work to press through that, again, that first step, when I talk to people who are in these kinds of situations, and again, kind of sticking with the exercise thing, just because, mm-hmm, it's such an easy and very, very common example, they know that once they get out the door, once they get dressed, it's
right,
easier. Once they get their shoes on,
mm-hmm,
it's easier.
Right.
As soon as they open the door, it's easier. Mm-hmm. Each step makes the next step easier.
That's right.
It's, mm-hmm, it's that very first thing. And we have to be cognizant enough of who we are and our own strengths and limitations to say, I know that if I do this first,
right,
I'm not going to do that.
Right.
I used the example before of, if you want to go to the gym,
mm-hmm,
don't go home,
right,
after work and think that you're going to go home, change clothes, and then go to the gym.
Yeah.
That's probably not going to happen.
Right.
You need to bring your workout clothes to work and go straight from work to the gym.
Right.
You have to know yourself well enough. I know myself well enough that when I get home, if I don't change into my running clothes then, as soon as I begin to settle, I'm not going to go for a run.
Right.
It's just not going to happen.
That's what I discovered when I was, when the years when I ran, I couldn't run in the afternoon. I just was never good at it. There was always something about, if I had to run in the morning, I had to run before 7 or 8 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah.
Otherwise it didn't happen. Right. So I got into the habit of, that's what I did every morning.
Right. You know? We think of the same thing with our diet. Mm-hmm. You know, people get so frustrated that their diet isn't as good as it could be. Well, you're buying the stuff that you shouldn't be eating.
Right.
So if the stuff isn't in the house, and we make the excuse, mm-hmm. I guess that's really just what it comes down to say, well, my kids like those things, mm-hmm. or, you know, well, your kid, if you shouldn't be eating it, your kids probably shouldn't be eating it either. So, you know, why do you have all of those Oreos in the house? Why do you have all of the junk food in the house? Mm-hmm. If you don't want to eat it, if it's not healthy for you to eat, don't buy it.
Don't buy it, right.
Mm-hmm. But again, we find these reasons to, and we can get into these sort of rote procedures, mm-hmm. going through the grocery store where we go down these aisles and we pick these things up over and over and over again. And we just don't do what we say and know mm-hmm. we need to do.
Yeah, we had a program years and years ago. And invariably, parents would say, you know, and say, well, where's she getting these? And, well, I have to buy them for the rest of the family.
Right.
Potato chips or Hershey's or whatever.
Right.
No, nobody should be eating those.
Right.
Okay. It's okay on occasion. Have mm-hmm. a treat. Okay.
Right.
But one of the things that we did one time, we wanted to cut out desserts. And we happened to be living in an area where there were some stores within walking distance. They were, I don't know, quarter to a half a mile away. And if we really wanted a treat, because we didn't have it in the house, if we really wanted a treat, we had to get dressed and walk to the store. There
right.
was an ice cream store nearby, and there was a bakery nearby. But you had to walk to it, okay?
Right.
So not only were you deterred because you had to get dressed and walk over there, but so the first thing was the walk. But the second thing is you were burning up calories. In
right.
the process, you were at least getting some exercise,
right.
even if you were going to go do a little venial sin somewhere and get some ice cream, at least you were walking there and back.
Right.
Okay. So it acted
right.
as a deterrent.
Right.
But again, that's scaffolding. That's structuring it so that it works.
Yeah, yeah. And you know, we're using examples of exercise and diet for a variety of reasons. One is that, you know, many times when people are suffering from depression and anxiety,
right.
they want relief of those symptoms. I know that when I feel those symptoms, I want relief.
Right.
And we have a tendency to want a pill
mm-hmm.
to make those symptoms go away.
Mm-hmm.
And more research is coming out to suggest that those medications aren't as really as good as we thought
right.
that they were.
Mm-hmm.
Not only that, as you said,
and they're not risk free.
They're not risk free, right?
Right.
They have side effects. They
right.
have side effects that people don't like.
Right.
And so, what the research is showing us more and more now is that these lifestyle choices
mm-hmm.
have an effect, profound effect sometimes, on our mental health.
Right.
Exercise and diet. In some studies have been shown to be just as effective, if not more effective,
right.
than SSRIs.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So, but yet, again, in the reason that it's relevant to this podcast is because it's really easy to take a pill.
Right.
You just put it in your mouth and drink some water.
You don't have to change anything else.
Right.
You know, and taking a pill is easy.
Right.
I mean, you pop it in, drink some,
right.
you're done.
It's the goal of getting better passively.
Right.
I don't really have to do much.
That's right.
It's just passive improvement.
Passive improvement. Passive interventions.
But these lifestyle things are things that you just have to do.
That's right. Right.
More and more, again, more and more evidence is mounting that, you know, this is just the way that we need to be doing. And it should make sense. We wrote a blog earlier this week. It's for the Ledger, our Ledger article this
mm-hmm.
week. It is about, you know, how do you making decisions for healthier lifestyle? You
right.
know, there's all this stuff out there that says, oh, well, you shouldn't eat eggs, or you should eat eggs, or no, butter is from the devil, or
right.
no, eat it. Butter should be part of everything.
Right.
You know, the bottom line is this. If it hurts your body,
right.
don't do it.
If you can't pronounce it, if it's not in nature, right. You probably shouldn't ingest it.
If you don't know what the ingredient is, right. Don't eat it. and you know, don't do things that make you feel bad.
Right.
I mean, it really is as simple as that. And so when we get depressed, when we get anxious, the first thing that we should be looking at is what's happening in our lifestyle.
Right. What is it about our life?
Yeah, right. That's making us feel this way. And right. Oftentimes, more often than not, diet and exercise help relieve those things.
Well, it makes me think of William Glasser, you know, who argued for years. He was a psychiatrist.
Right.
He was a world-famous psychiatrist who did not use medication. And he would say to people, these are lifestyle choices.
Right.
In fact, it's called choice therapy.
Right.
Is you make choices, and those choices will affect how you feel and how you perform. And so it's not a question of taking medication. It's a question of changing something about your life.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, and again, it's something that you just have to do.
Mm-hmm.
You can't
do.
Say...
Operative word, do.
You can't just say, well, I want to do that, or I would like to do that, or, I really need to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Those are all great things to say.
Right.
But they're also passive things to say. Mm-hmm. You're not... Mm-hmm. There's no action
right.
involved
right.
in any of those. Those are aspirations.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you just have to do it. You just have to put yourself out there and make it happen. If you... want to, if you want to change your profession, if you want to own your own business,
right.
you just have to go through the process. Mm-hmm. You just have to get the information. Then you just have to follow the process to make it happen.
Yeah, one of the things that, let's take business as an example, you should have a business plan.
Right.
Okay. Yeah, you should outline mm-hmm. what you want to do and how you want to do it and all that stuff. But at some point, please know this. You're not going to be able to anticipate
right.
everything that's going to happen.
Right.
Okay.
Again, it's the thing about, you know, well, we're going to wait to have a kid until the time is right.
The time is never,
it's never right.
Never right. Mm-hmm. Okay. There's never going to be a convenient time to have a child. And so you can have a general idea of where you want to go, but please don't think that you can anticipate every eventuality. It just doesn't work that way.
Right.
What you're going to do in your first business is you're going to discover how to be in business. You're going
right.
to discover all the things you have to do. Oh, geez, I didn't know you had to do this. And I didn't know you had to do that. I didn't know about that. Well, I didn't know about that regulation.
Right.
That's right. That's what you learn the first time through.
Yeah.
Second business is easier. Third one's easier than that.
Right.
But you got to learn as you go.
It's funny that you mentioned that.
You have to do it.
Yeah.
In order to learn this process, you have to go through it. That is, you have to do it.
Right. It's funny that you mentioned that because we didn't talk about this beforehand, but we wrote a business plan for a private practice about a decade ago.
At least.
Oh, yeah, it was probably longer than that. It was probably 2003, 2004,
right.
somewhere around there.
About 12 years ago.
I still have it, by the way.
Yes,
I opened it up the other day. And, you know, I followed the model that I found online. It had the 5-year plan. This is
right.
what we're going to do the first year. Here's what's going to happen the second year. Walked through all mm-hmm. of that. Had everything, the mission plan,
right.
everything outlined. And, yeah.
None of that happened.
Didn't do it. Didn't do it.
Right.
And when we started our practice now, the PAC Florida, Psychological Associates of Central Florida,
right.
what happened?
We just did. We just jumped into the deep end of the pool.
We just did.
And the first couple of months, it was like one discovery after another.
It was. You know, we found one thing that we used, which was our method of doing electronic medical records
right.
that did appointments for us and everything.
Right.
And then just did it. We just
right.
jumped in, got a office suite, and just did it.
Right.
And but at some point, that's what it is.
Yeah, but all the stuff you did with taxes, with the with setting
that.
Up the books, with setting up the procedures, running, you know,
well, that's,
all that stuff.
That's true. 2012, when we were publishing
right.
our book for the first time,
yeah,
we decided, you know what? Let's just start a publishing company.
Right.
So I. Put some stuff together and started a publishing company.
Right.
I had no idea what I'm doing.
We had never done a publishing company before.
No.
No.
But again, at some point you
learn as you go.
Yeah.
I mean, this is the this time of the year when students are graduating, going on to college and everything, okay? And there are some students, you know, you want to have this plan, you know,
yeah.
that I'm going to go to this school, I'm going to stay for this long, it's going to take this long. No. You go there and you do those courses. You take the courses and you pass them. I have students now, I have kids that I see who are 20, 21, 22, 24, still trying to decide what they want to do. And they're starting to get that inertia of, well, I'm not sure that I can. I'm not sure. I'm too old. Mm-hmm. I might be this. I might be that. I don't know that I can. I don't know that I have the money. Just go do it.
Right.
Okay. At 24, I have people 22 years old saying, well, I'm getting kind of old. Yeah, you're not a college freshman, and you're not the typical college freshman.
Yeah.
But at 22, you can start any career you want. You have plenty of time is on your side at 22.
Right. Okay. Yeah, I think that the antiquated idea of you have to be done with college by the time you're 22 is gone.
It's gone.
Because our life expectancy is much longer now. And, you know, and most people aren't retiring at the age that they once retired. And so you have plenty of time to invent yourself, then reinvent yourself.
That's right.
And maybe even reinvent yourself again.
That's right.
So
age isn't one of those excuses.
Right.
You know, it's like, oh, I'm too old. No, you're not too old.
Right. Mm-hmm. So, you know, just do it. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think that we've said that about
500 times. Right. Whether it's business, whether it's athletics, whether it's exercise, whether it's diet, doesn't matter what it is.
Right.
Going back to school, doesn't matter what, just do it.
Right. Okay. And you know, and psychologically, you know, when you think about your mental health, mm-hmm. Most people, mm-hmm. I think, my experiences, most people, you know what makes you feel good.
That's right.
You know what makes mm-hmm. you feel better. Mm-hmm. Do that.
Yeah. Yep.
You know, of course, unless it's illegal and those kinds of things. But but for the most part, you know what makes you feel better. Mm-hmm. It's never a surprise when I'm talking to somebody and I say, well, how much are you exercising? Mm-hmm. Oh, well, I'm not exercising. Mm-hmm. I said, well, you know, have you ever? Oh, yeah, I used to. And man, I used to feel so good after I exercised. That's like the most common response mm-hmm. when we say that.
Right.
You know, well, how do you feel? You know, diet. You know, how do you feel? Well, you know, I feel so good at the time that I'm eating the sugary junk food.
Yeah.
But man, 30 minutes later, I just feel lousy. Okay.
Right. I love the taste of Krispy Kreme.
Right.
I don't like the effect of Krispy Kreme.
So so what you do instead? Replace the Krispy Kreme with an orange or with grapes or watermelon. It's still sugary, so it still gives you that, but it doesn't give you the drop off, and it doesn't give you the after effects.
Not quite as satisfying
immediately. Yeah.
But eventually it is.
Absolutely. Right. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. So again, the moral of the story, the moral of all of it is you just got to do it.
Just do
it. You just have to see that goal, see where you want to go, and just do it.
And know that the first steps are going to be the most difficult.
Right. And know that you might fall.
We know that it's hard. And you might have to have help. You might have to have support. But you got to get going. And we know it's hard. We know it is.
Right. Take that first step. Mm-hmm. Take that first step, and then the second. And then the third will be easier. And then the fourth will be easier than that. Yeah. All right. And just keep going. Because that is going to get you to your ultimate goal.
Right.
You know, we sit by and we hold on to these big goals that we feel like we have for ourselves. Mm-hmm. We hold on to these aspirations that we would like to meet and accomplish. But we just don't take the steps we need to get there. And so let today be the first day that you change that.
Change it today.
Why not?
Make today be the day.
Why not?
Or, you know, indulge yourself today and make tomorrow be the first. You know, tomorrow's Saturday.
Yeah.
Make tomorrow be the day.
But
set up your scaffolding. Get a schedule, get a time that's really going to work.
Right.
I mean, don't just say, well, I'm going to do it in the afternoon. No. Write a time down, put it on the refrigerator,
and
commit to it and do it.
Don't let anything else get in the way.
Right.
You know, just commit to it. So, all right.
You know, people, I just thought of something. People do that with church.
Yeah.
You know, if you didn't have to go to church at this time on Sunday, you'd never find your way to church.
Yeah.
I mean, if you say, well, I'll go sometime during the week. No, you commit to Sunday, and that becomes your routine.
And I think that's a great point. I think that's why time, scheduling times for things like that are right. so important.
That's right. That's why it's scheduled.
Right.
That's why schools are scheduled the way right. they are. That's why churches and meetings, you know, if you belong to an organization, the meeting is scheduled at a certain time. Because if you didn't have it scheduled, how are you going to get all these people together every week? It would never happen.
Right. Yeah.
Because like a team practice.
Yeah. When you think about a lot of churches, I think church is a great example of that. Because if you think about a lot of churches, mm-hmm. Especially Catholic churches,
right.
there's almost always...
Right.
A priest or someone there that you could go and you could learn right. from and you could talk mm-hmm. to and that kind of thing.
Right.
But when it comes to Mass,
right.
Mass is scheduled at a specific time.
That's right.
And if you mm-hmm. want that experience, you have to be there at
you
that time.
You have to go at that time.
If you just want to talk to somebody, sure, right. that's mm-hmm. Any time.
Right.
But if you want that particular experience, that's right. when you have to be there. And if you want to experience better health, mm-hmm. that's when you have to do it. You have to schedule that specific right. time for it.
Anything. I mean, that's why we have schedules. That, you know, because then it's a commitment. Then you right. make a commitment. Then you set the time. That's what you're going to do at 7 o'clock.
Right.
They're not there at 9 o'clock. Okay.
Right.
You go at 7 o'clock. And you have to do the same thing with yourself.
Right.
You have to schedule these things into these personal things into yeah. your schedule.
Yep. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. So. All right. So
that sounds good. Do just, it. Just do it. It. That's what Nike meant when they said just do it.
Yeah.
They got it from Yoda.
I prefer Yoda. Yeah.
I know. I do too.
So, all right. So a couple
that
of announcements.
That should be one of our mottos.
Just do it?
Well, no, or, Yoda. Yoda said try.
Try not. Do or do not.
Right. We should put that over the door.
Okay. Should we add it to the end along with forget to be afraid?
Well, I was thinking about maybe Yoda could be for Paideia.
Oh, that's
do
true.
Do it at the end of Paideia.
Yeah.
Because we want kids to do it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's true. If you listen to this podcast, you have any interest in education, you'd really right. like our other podcast, the Paideia Education mm-hmm. Podcast. That's we had a great talk this morning about policy issues,
and I have a couple more coming up that I think you'll enjoy. So.
Yeah. So, yeah. Okay. So a few announcements. The Paideia Education Podcast. Check that out. There's a lot of big discussions that we're having over there, yeah. all about education reform. We're going to start shifting as well, though, especially as we're getting into the summer months, talking about how to help your kids learn, right. how to really some educational things mm-hmm. that parents can use at home.
Right.
We spend a lot of time over the past few months talking about standardized testing and mm-hmm. all that kind of stuff because that's the big stuff happening right now,
right.
And what's really frustrating a lot of people. But we're going to shift and we're going to keep talking about that, but we're also going to talk about some of these more practical mm-hmm. implementing things that you can implement at home.
That's right, because we have to keep our kids on track and healthy for 12 months a year. You know, it can't just
right.
be during the 9 months of the school year. We have to structure our summers, speaking of
right.
scaffolding, we have to structure our summers so that kids are ready for school. Remember, they're going to be coming to school in just a couple of months. They
yeah.
come back to school in August.
Yeah,
so.
And here in Florida, it's or at least here in Polk County, it's a short summer.
Yeah,
you only have
really
like
is.
7 or 8 weeks.
Right.
And I say only, I mean, that's 2 months.
Right.
But it's
right.
it's about a quarter shorter than
yeah.
usual.
You got to keep them warm during the summer. You got to keep them moving in the summer.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So
yeah,
we'll talk a lot about that.
The research that suggests that students can lose as much as a grade level
right.
of reading skill over
mm-hmm.
the summer if they don't read.
Right.
You know, you can go from reading at a third grade level to a second grade level
right.
just because you're not reading over the summer.
You're going to lose skills. So the kids
yeah.
who are reading over the summer gain skills, and the kids who stop reading lose skills.
Right.
So there's a differential there that could be 4 or 5 or 6 months. So,
right.
so we've got to talk about that.
And not just, and forget about math. I mean, goodness.
Summer reading is really critical.
Math is challenging.
Yeah.
Math is another area where you lose a lot of skills. So
mm-hmm.
anyways, so that'll be on the Paideia Education Podcast. So check that out. It's in iTunes and in Google Play Music because I think there'll be a lot to learn there.
Mm-hmm.
The other big announcement. The book is out.
The book is out.
The Handbook for Raising an Emotionally Healthy Child, Part 1,
mm-hmm.
Behavior Management.
Right.
It is now available on Kindle.
Mm-hmm. Revised and updated.
Yeah. The, mm-hmm. Man, the more we talk about it and the more that we kind
I'm
of
really excited
have been
about
wrapping
it.
Things up, there's a lot of resources and a
right.
lot of things that you get with that book. So it's $4.99, but there's 4 chapters that walk you through
mm-hmm.
the developmental stages from birth through adolescence. And it's all about what to expect during mm-hmm. those ages, during those different developmental stages, especially as it relates to behaviors. So we talk about temper tantrums. We talk about that separation. I was talking to a parent the other day about, you know, why her 8-year-old putting his foot down sometimes when you know, and saying, disagreeing with her a lot. Now, well, you know, let's talk about that a little bit, because how kids are starting to create their own identity around those ages.
And yeah, so much that kids do at different ages, whether it's a temper tantrum or identity or whatever, is just normal behavior. You know,
right.
So don't panic. Don't worry about it too much. Much of the, and in the book we talk about that this is really normal for a kid to be doing this at this particular age. So it'll pass.
Yeah. So you'll get all of that. Plus, there's a website a web address that you'll get in the book that will take you to a site that has lots of additional supplemental resources. There's 5 or 6 or 7 uploaded as I'm recording this at 8:55 on Friday, May 13th. But by the end of the day, there'll probably be about 10 to 15.
Right.
And within the next couple of days, we'll have almost 20 different resources.
Right.
And those resources offer you some materials that you can use to monitor your child's progress, worksheets to implement some of the things that we talk about, like building routines and handling transitions, but also just additional explanation of some of the concepts and perspectives that we present in the book, some additional examples and ideas and ways to think about some of that stuff. So it's almost like another book, or at least another chapter that you get for when you get that book. And as we're working on parts 2 and 3, we'll be adding more supplemental material that you'll still have access to. And so when part 2, entitled Attention, comes out within the next month or two.
This summer. We'll have parts 2 and 3 out this summer.
Yeah, part 2 is Attention and part 3 is Love.
Right.
So Attention focuses on parent-child interactions, while Love focuses on parent-child relationships. Those will become available, and again, all the resources for those will be available in that supplemental section as well. So, man, it's just never going to end. It's just going to be, it's like buying a book where you just keep getting new chapters all the time.
It'll be the best $5 you ever spent.
Right.
The best $4.99 you've ever spent.
Right.
There's a lot of information in there. I was saying in an earlier podcast that I'm about ready to purchase some books, and they're $32 and $40. And this book is $4.99 for the first section of the Kindle version.
Yeah.
So take a look at it, see what you think, and let us know what you think. Love to hear from you.
So that's available on Kindle right now. And again, by the end of today, hopefully it'll be available on Barnes & Noble's Nook as well. So I've been working on that this morning. So hopefully that is all set up pretty soon. So check it out, get that book, and let us know what you think. We'd love to
let us know.
So that's available. The Elimination Diet Manual is available also on Kindle. And if I get all of this stuff set up on Barnes & Noble Nook, I'll have that available on Nook as well. The Udemy course. So hopefully now that we have this section of the book done and we're moving on to the Attention section, I'm going to also be focusing on the Udemy course for parenting your ADHD child. That should be available hopefully soon as well. That one's again something a little bit outside of our typical wheelhouse, and so hopefully I'll have that done within the next couple weeks. That's my goal, and so that will be available soon. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter. You'll get lots of updates and everything from there. So Twitter is at Dr. Bernie, D-R-B-E-R-N-E-Y. And Facebook, there's lots of Facebook pages. The Mental Breakdown, which is Dr. Bernie, Paideia, PAC Florida, Psychological Associates of Central Florida. There's lots of different ways to follow us there. Please write us a review on Facebook, but also on iTunes. Or Google Play Music.
Google Play Music.
I don't know much about Google Play Music, but we're there.
Right.
We're on
right.
there, so that's good. So check us out there and write us a review, rate us just to increase
the
visibility. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a good word.
Okay.
So, all right.
Very good.
Man.
Happy Friday the 13th.
That was a lot of announcements.
couple more. Well, that's a good thing.
Yeah.
Busy summer. It's going to be a busy summer here at PAC Florida. So stay tuned. And
yeah, because we have some other projects coming up that we're working on.
Let us know what you think.
Will be exciting. So, All right. That's everything. So until next week, I'm Dr. Bernie.
I'm Dr. Richard.
Have a great week and forget to be afraid.